Lone Indian. Indian trails winding from tribe to tribe over 100 years ago. Another Robert E. Callahan story of wigwam fires, council teepee, trapping, trading, nomadic travel, and exciting adventure featuring the lone Indian in his daring search for the magic arrow of the Omahas. Real Indians appear on every broadcast.
Well, folks, this is the old trapper talking. This story was written 60 feet above the ground in the fork of a giant pine tree where Thundercloud, a Mission Indian, has lived for over 60 years. Yes, sir. In this huge pine tree, 90 feet high and 30 feet from the top, the old Indian has lived in a bark and skin-made hut for over 60 years. Dadgummit, and by some queer work of fate, I am the first white man who ever came this way. The old chief is attired in brown buckskin handed down from his father, and he does odd jobs for people on vacation in Big Bear Valley during the summer. And he stays around Palm Springs in the winter, and a lot of folks remember him, but very few white people ever get a chance to talk with the old chief. You know, he won't talk very much, and I guess a lot of us would be better off if we didn't talk so much anyway. But me being Indian and interested in the Indian life so long, you know, not exactly Indian, but kind of living around them so long. Well, I guess that is why Thundercloud told me how the Indians created the original mud bath, and just why his father taught him how to call on the Great Spirit and make it thunder or rain or do a lot of things when he wanted to. You know, on every old Indian trail, folks, crude symbols indicate what had happened on the trail. Been that way ever since you was born and long before. The white men, of course, who can't read Indian symbols, would never be able to find this place. As a matter of fact, it was after winding through the wildwood and entering a cave, following symbols and out over the mountain that I was finally able to find the home of Chief Thundercloud. Well, sir, it was after the old chief knew I could talk Indian and understood Indian symbols that he apparently found a lot of pleasure in telling me the story of his father. You see, he said, the Indian, my father and the chief, created the original mud bath. And while a lot of folks call the Indian a savage, modern white people are now trying to do just what the Indian did 1,000 years ago. Yes, sir. More and more children are being taught what a sun bath will do to the mind and body, what a vacation in the wildwood will do for the tired and weary man or woman. You know, from bellhop to banker, a lot of white men are disrobing and trying to tan their bodies and looking just like an Indian. And what's more, a lot of women in high society nowadays are walking the streets without modesty in order to bake their bodies and look like an Indian. Oh, they don't know, of course, the Indian created the original mud bath, and that made his body strong. And by taking sun baths, he had a greater body. You know, in the days of my father, every Indian trail was a neutral ground for any tribe, Thundercloud told me. Each tribe had individual hunting ground, and no other trapper ever encroached upon the land of that tribe. This rule among all the tribes was a tradition, respected and obeyed by all. There was hunting, fishing, trapping, trading, and peace and plenty in the wildwood. But when the white man came to the beautiful forest of the Atlantic coast, and that is where my grandfather lived, and with the coming of greed and power, my grandfather was killed, and my own father became the chief. But so many of his tribe had been killed that he left the wild woods of the Atlantic coast and came clear across the country to live in the mountains of California. Back in the hills, he learned to create a sound that made white men afraid to visit his village. Yes, sir, that's the kind of sound which the pale face did not like about 100 years ago. And by golly, the time when the old padres were building missions in California and teaching the Indians a new religion. Bells rang, beautiful Spanish girls sang and danced, but the Indians were in the hills, cutting down big trees, and after cutting all the limbs and bark away, what do you think? Well, sir, 6 or 8 Indians would lift the heavy log to their shoulders, start for the mission ground, the padres telling them if they let that log touch the ground before it arrived at the mission, the new god would strike them down. On they went, sturdy, brave, down the rocky hillside with implicit faith in a new religion. The long pole weighed more than 20 men, yet on the Indian went, down a hot, dusty, unbeaten trail, over a rough ravine and out across a rocky hill where sharp stones cut the Indians' bare feet and made them bleed. But folks, the Indians did not stop to rest or even take a sip of water on the way. No, sirree. Them Indians believed in what the padres had said about salvation. A salvation that would come if the Indians would keep that log from touching evil dirt on the way to the new Church of God. My father said he believed California would be a happy hunting ground for the Indian. There would be peace, harmony, and plenty for all. And the Indians worked very hard to build the missions, and that is why they were called Mission Indians. But one morning, folks, after the new church was completed and while the padres were holding mass and the Indians were on their knees at the altar, an Indian stole a sacred cross from the altar of the beautiful mission. Well, maybe you know just what happened. Yes, sir, folks. That is exactly what happened at the San Juan Capistrano Mission in 1812. Over 200 faithful Ishans, real Indians, were pulled out of the broken walls, dust and mortar. And after the earthquake, my own grandfather, his two boys, and five beautiful maidens were among the dead. But my own father escaped. But he was so full of sorrow that after the padres buried the bodies of his family, my father went away making a vow to return good for evil. And that night, way up in the hills, he had a dream of what he should do. So he followed the winding trail which led him to what is now the Hot Springs in Big Bear Valley. Here, beside the bubbling water, he fell asleep. And he had another dream, a dream in which he saw himself cured of aching bones and low vitality brought on by overwork at the mission, grief, and exposure on his way to Bear Valley. So he cloaked his bare body with hot clay and mud and from the rim of this hot spring, and for about 4 days he lay basking and baking in the morning sun. Then he prayed, and he did a chant of the wildwood. Well, sir, you know, for 3 days, Thundercloud repeated this treatment and not only recovered his weight, strength, and eyesight, but he now went forth to all points of California and then to other states discovering more hot springs where the Indians might take mud baths. For 10 long years, he did nothing but follow Indian trails and take a message of the mud bath to many tribes. Of course, increasing white habitation kept pushing the Indians away from his home and health, but in time, the white man began finding healing power in the mud baths, just like my father discovered in Big Bear Valley, California, over 100 years ago. And here, back in the hills, unknown to the pale face, we Indians still do our mud bath dance, bark paddles, bark whistles, and the Indians' feet encased in bark, because the mud bath was a gift of the Indian god.